Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. In his message titled, The Life Eternal, Reverend David Williams tells us that all moments of our lives will be written into eternity. That is what makes our decisions so important. Love everyone in every moment because that is what God wants us to do for eternity. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We gather together in this place as different people at different stages and different places in our life's journey. Each of us comes to this moment as a distinct soul with a distinct pattern of life. We are studying, we are working, we are in retirement, we're just growing. And that difference should give us grace and joy as we share life together, no matter where we find ourselves. But in our culture, in our society, there is a tendency to split us all up, to divide us out by age and demographic and interest area. And our differences cease to be a source of sharing and strength and become instead just another thing to separate us. That influence touches us, sometimes in ways that we struggle to see. But in this place, that needs to be set aside. Let's now admit that sometimes that's hard for us, setting aside our distinctions and seeing the grace that God has given all of us in our difference. Let's admit that we struggle to see this by praying together the prayer of confession, first in unison and then in silence. Please join with me in this prayer. Gracious and loving God, there are so many different ways to come into understanding of you. There are paths of prayer and paths of service. Each of us bear different gifts which you light up in different ways. And yet in our difference, we are all called to bear the same grace, the same spirit, the same love for one another. We choose to forget this, Lord. We choose to take our gifts and make them reasons to reject one another. We choose to take your blessings and turn them into reasons to feel superior or resentful. Forgive us, Lord, when we forget the path. In the name of Christ, please forgive us. Now each of us, let us take our challenges to God in the silence of our hearts. Let's pray in silence. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. May the God of all mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit keep us in eternal life. Amen. Our third reading from Scripture. The reading today is drawn from John's Gospel. I'll be reading John 10, verses 22 through 30. You can follow along on page 104 of your Pew New Testament. Let's listen a third time for God's Word. At that time, The festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple, in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Eternal life. What does that mean? It's hard for us to wrap our heads around that and around the idea of mortality generally. Because death is funny. It's a funny thing. Not funny in a ha-ha kind of way, no matter how well Deadpool is doing at the box office. It's funny peculiar. Because here, this thing, this reality that all of us face, and we don't talk about it much, not in our day-to-day lives, because we'd rather not. It can feel, in the busyness of things, like a grim distraction, and yet it is such an integral part of our existence, that we age, that we grow old, and eventually this body stops functioning. We don't talk about it, generally. I mean, how many conversations on that front do we have on a given day? Not that many, unless we're someone who works in hospice care or a funeral home director or the lead singer of a Scandinavian death metal band. We don't do that regularly. But it should interest us. I mean, it certainly is something that certain fields within the scientific community find fascinating, as human beings fish around for keys to what this death thing means. So that maybe if we figure it out, we can put dying off for, I don't know, a century or two would be nice. Because non-existence is something we as living creatures think we would rather avoid. There's all kinds of ways people deal with that. And there were studies back in the 20th century that struggled. How do we live longer? How do we put this off? And one of the ways they found was, you know, you can live longer. You can add 10, 15, 20, 30 years to your life if you radically restrict the amount of calories you consume. They found this with rats and other creatures. If you cut way back so they were eating just barely enough to survive, they would live longer. Calorie restriction, the new key was called. And there are actually still communities, and you can find them on the web because they're communities of everyone doing something on the internet, who are obsessively devoted to managing and restricting their calories to the just, you know, I won't die of starvation today level of eating, so that they can live longer. And, you know, it works, but it seems like a really bad deal to me, you know? I mean, instead of living to 85, you get to spend, no, well, maybe you live to 100 and you're hungry the whole time. Great. I'm going to be grumpy and hungry for 100 years. Awesome. And there are studies now done by biologists into the process of senescence. And senescence is how living beings degrade as they age. And there's this assumption that as you get older, you increasingly embrace, as you get older, things get creakier and don't work quite as well, and aging is just woven up with, oh, I ache this morning. And the assumption had always been that was how everything was. That's how living things exist. But, you know, science has found that that's not true. There are species of ants that just don't ever seem to age. They just keep trucking along, totally unaffected by age. They get actually better and better and more functional. And at the end of their lifespan, they just turn off in a day. They just switch off. No one knows why, but they never seem to age. They just truck along happily and die. It's like, you know, everyone see the movie Logan's Run? Everyone see that one? Yeah. Sort of like that, only without the light. And anyway, 70s classics. See it. Great sci-fi. Or there are living beings that have been researched, like the bristlecone pine. Anyone know this? The bristlecone pine, which doesn't seem to age at all. I mean, you've got trees in your backyard, and they grow up, and after about, you know, some of them 60, 70, 100 years, they get old, and they die. The bristlecone does not do it. It has the distinction of being the living thing with the longest lifespan, and the oldest living specimens are over 5,000 years old. And what's striking about these older bristlecones is not that they, you know, they get older and creakier, and you picture this 5,000-year-old tree, it's like, oh, I'm barely alive. That's not how they live. They're considerably healthier and more vibrant than the younger trees. I mean, those little 1,000-year-old bristlecone adolescents are nowhere near as healthy and energetic as the 4,000 to 5,000-year-old trees. And it's not that they can't die. These are not like immortal magic trees. You couldn't burn them, or you can cut them down and make them into really low karma IKEA furniture. But best we can tell, bristlecones don't die otherwise. They just keep living. And science looks into this, struggling and wrestling here with mortality, with the idea you can have things that could live forever, hoping maybe someday to unlock why it is that that doesn't work for us. So that we can live to be the big, you know, the vibrant 5,000-year-old we want to be. But I wonder if that would be a good thing. If a life just went on and on and on, would it be a blessing? I mean, I look back at my high school yearbook, and one of the things I do, I mean, you know, having admitted to the kids, you're older than 30? It's like, what? I look back and of all those faces that were once familiar, so many of them, I realize, I don't really know them anymore. I sort of recognize that face, but I don't know that person. Those people who I was probably sitting in a class with, who were part of the ambient reality of my adolescence, I don't really remember a lot of those people and their stories. And if I lived for 500 years, 1,000, I mean, after 1,000 years, what would the friendships you made in your 20s or your 30s or your 220s mean? Memories would pile on top of memories until we could no longer hold all of them. I mean, we only got 2.5 petabytes in this organic neural network up here, and it would fill to saturation, and we wouldn't be able to hold on to things anymore. We would feel a little like Bilbo Baggins after his 111s. We'd feel spread thin like butter over too much bread. Eternal life would be strange. And yet here in the Gospel of John, that's what Jesus is talking about. It's the midst of a festival, and Jesus is out for a walk in the temple in Jerusalem. And this is a festival that in Jesus' time, in the time of the writing of this gospel, was called the Feast of Dedication. Feast of Dedication. Anyone heard of that? Feast of Dedication. It was a time, a festival when Jews were meant to come and celebrate the temple's liberation from the Seleucid king Antiochus Epiphanes. All right, now does anyone know what that is? That was 200 years before. It was a time when Judas Maccabeus had liberated the temple from this oppressive Greek person, and there'd been this, you know, they needed oil for lamps, and so they came in. Anyone recognize it now? Yeah, Jesus is walking around, and it's Hanukkah, all right? He's walking in the temple, and it's Hanukkah. And there's no mention of dreidels. That would have made it a lot easier. And it comes to us as here he's in the temple. It's an interesting marker of time, because what it tells us is that Jesus has been in Jerusalem for a while. Way back in chapter 7 of John's gospel, as John tells the story, we hear that he arrives for the festival of booths, for Sukkot, which is a fall harvest festival. And it means Jesus has been in and around Jerusalem for about 3 months, as this story runs. I mean, maybe he runs back to Galilee to pick something up. It doesn't mention that. He's just been there for a while, talking, teaching, trying to stay a little under the radar of the Judean authorities. And we find him in the temple, out for a walk, and suddenly surrounded by the Jews, or John's Gospel, the Judeoi, I prefer to think of it as the Judeans, the people who live there in and around Jerusalem, because they were all Jews. And what else would that mean? And he gets into a testy exchange, because he's been there for a while. People have known he's been present, and they gather and they ask him, "Are you the Messiah? Are you, because you've been here for a while, and you've been telling all these stories, and you've been speaking in this symbolic language. Are you or not? Are you or not?" And our Bibles present this as, "How long will you keep us in suspense?" But that like implies that's something good. Oh, I'm in suspense. I'm anxious, you know. But the Greek idiom that's used here is one that's more commonly annoyance. You know, when someone's been doofing around for too long, you know, like when your kid, it's like 2 hours since they told them you had to clean their room. You don't go in, "Oh, stop keeping me in suspense. When's your room going to be clean?" You know, that's not the feeling. It's like, stop wasting time. Stop wasting my life. It's annoyed impatience. And they say, "Look, we have been following you around, paying attention, you're taking up our time. You will not come out and tell us, are you or not?" And being challenged, Jesus, of course, responds, as he tends to, with more challenge in reply. He makes the case that really, y'all should already know. I've been here long enough. You've heard the stories. You've heard me describing my relationship with God. If you actually got what I was saying, you'd already have gotten it. You would not ask that question. And then he starts saying the kind of peculiar things that Jesus said, the strange, strange things that fuddle folks, like the way this concludes, where he says, "I and the Father are one," which, you know, generally in conversation with reticent pastors and leaders, when they say, "Well, you know, I am God," that cheesed people off a little bit. But he also said straight up that part of the relationship he was offering to other people was something unusual. What the Aramaic words were exactly, we can't be sure, but the Gospel of John describes it in the Greek as, "Those who follow me have the zoe aionion," meaning literally the life of all ages, or the eternal life. And the concept isn't unique to John. Every gospel has it. It's in Matthew, it's in Luke, it's in Mark. Paul writes about this. Other epistles write it. It is a central part of what it means to be part of the Christian journey, this eternal life. Life eternal is part of what Jesus offers. And that, from the Bilbo Baggins perspective, is a little peculiar. But how else are we to interpret that? I mean, if we interpret life eternal as a life that just goes on and on and on and on, what does it mean for this life? I've always struggled with that, because if there lies an eternity beyond this one where, you know, I'll cross over the veil and then, you know, then I'll be 200 years old and then I'll be 900 years old and then I'll be 6.7 billion years old, why is this life so important? Because it is. I mean, if we just continue being ourselves as exactly as we are forever and ever and ever, and we are still ourselves, meaning moral agents and free and capable of making choices, why does the choice I make today matter? Why does the choice I make tomorrow matter against the vastness of eternity? My life, all of our lives, would be like a fleeting instant, an infinitesimal nothing against the yawning deep of all time. I mean, do you remember, all right, it's October 3rd of 2014, in between 7:27 a.m. and 7:28 a.m. You remember that time? It's clear in our minds. That single minute would be a larger fraction of our life than living to a healthy 113 or 111s would be relative to the life eternal if it stretches out forever. And would that minute, that moment that we don't even remember, be the full measure of us as a human being? How does the life eternal relate to what matters in terms of our decisions now? Because we know those decisions matter. When Jesus tells the great story of redemption and repentance, it places a deep emphasis on this life, this time, the choices we are making in the flesh, in the life we are given right now. For those of us who call ourselves His, this life is the place where those decisions must be made, where transformation must occur. It is the seedbed of our deeper reality. It is the foundation on which our relationship with our Creator rests. How then do we interpret this assertion that being a disciple of Jesus, being one of Jesus' sheep, offers us life that's forever? I don't think any of us can answer that question exactly, because, you know, I haven't lived forever yet. How can I know that? And I also don't think that human language itself can bear the weight of that reality. I love words, and they don't handle eternal and everything all that well unless you have all of the words in all of the languages ever, and even then, I don't know. I think that's why Jesus talked in indirect ways about it, why he used stories and parables and peculiar abstract symbols. But I think there are some things we can know about what Jesus is implying by this. Eternal life is not about just avoiding senescence, not about escaping ages and the ways that we change and grow over the course of our days. I think it also speaks to the importance of each of those moments at every point, at every stage, at every instant. Because the reality of that Zoe Aeonion is that it is that life of all of our ages, the life of our every moment. It's when we were 7. It's when we were 12. It is, 14 and 15. It's when we're 21. It's when we're 30 or 40 or 50. 70. 90. Maybe past. It is yesterday. It is today. It is our tomorrow. And it's whatever those things may bring. Our days, these days, are a part of that reality. It's not something that starts in some distant future. It's something that is present now, set into the reality of God's work, the work of the eternal God, which is now. as bright and precious and eternal as the heavens themselves. And Jesus knew this because Jesus, as he concludes this section, I'm one with God. I know God's reality as my own. And he gave his whole life to the service of that reality. In this time, in this place, in every time and place we find ourselves, Jesus calls us to be his flock, acting and living as if we have actually heard his message of grace and mercy, of radical love for all. Jesus asks us to be among those who have listened and understood. Wherever we are in life, whatever moment we find ourselves, let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Through all eternity, forever is a mighty long time, as Prince once said. And that's hard for us to wrap our minds around as fleeting mortal creatures. How does this life, how does this time relate to that eternity that is part of the promise of this path? It's hard for us to grasp because this time does seem to go so fast. Maybe it's just that I'm a dad, somebody who's about to go off to college. And I remember the little fists of a baby in my beard, and I remember the boy I could carry on my shoulders or upside down to bed at night. And I watch him singing, and I watch him as a great, thick, broad-shouldered creature. And I know that as he moves on, life's going to change. But the truth of the eternal life that we have been given is that all of those moments of our life, every moment we express the love of God, every one of those moments is written into eternity. And that is the great challenge and demand of the Christian path, is to recognize that the life eternal extends beyond this one, as infinite as God's own self, and yet is also written into our every instant. And that is what makes our every instant so important. As we listen to Jesus teach us about the significance of loving one another right here, right now, and in this place, we have to realize that that is the eternal life, manifesting itself here, now, to see the importance of that love in every moment, and to move into our every moment, expressing that love and grace as fully and truly as Christ did. No pressure. But yes, a little. Just a little pressure to get out there and feel the urgency of loving in the moment, because that is the foundation and the nature of the life eternal we have been called to live. That is our path. Let's walk it together. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us this day and forevermore. Amen.